There's a sefer the Kuzri, written by Rabbi Yehuda Levi. That's a sefer. The sefer is based on a story. But there was this part of where Russia is today. There was a people, a nation called the Khazars, the Kuzri, and they were the idol worshippers. And the king was very religious in his religion, and he was very interested in his avodah zarah. One day he had a dream that a malach came to from Shemaim, an angel came from heaven, and told him, you have a good idea, what's in your heart is right, but your actions are wrong. He woke up and he says, they told me from heaven that actually what I really want is right, but my actions are wrong. That means I'm not strong enough for my avodah zarah. So he continued doing avodah zarah even more and more and more. And then he had this dream, and the malach came from Shemayim and told him, "Kavanisecha v'tzuyos, ma'asecha inu tzuyim." He said, "That means that I should get rid of the." The one who's working there by desire, the priest, and I should be the priest. So he got rid of the priest, and he became the priest, and he's doing all the work in the base of desire. And then he had his dream, and the dream came, and the angel came again and said, "Kavanisecha v'tzuyim, ma'asecha inu tzuyim." So he says, it seems that this idol is not. What we really think of him in my mind is not what they really think of him in heaven. So what's the real religion? What's the true religion? So he decides to bring three people from the three main religions. He brings a priest from the Catholics, that's his mashma, and he brings a priest from the Islam, and he brings a philosopher. He says the Jews, I'm not going to bring from the Jews, because even though it's the first religion, but since they went to Golis and a bunch of stupid idiots, they don't have any seichel. They're sitting all day. They're sitting with the books and they work so hard, and it's not worldly. I have nothing to learn from them. So we'll see the other great, the three main religions. He talks to the priest and he asks the priest, "What do you believe in?" The priest tells him, "He doesn't enjoy you too much. Okay, let's see on." He calls the fellow from Islam and says, "What do you believe in?" He tells him, he starts arguing with him, "He doesn't like this too much. It's not for me." Calls the philosopher, "So what do you believe in?" He tells him, and he starts arguing with him, and he doesn't like this either. So he says, "What do I do now?" You see, I'll have to call the Jews in any case. So he calls in a Rav, and he tells him, "What do you believe in?" So the Rav says, "I believe in the God who took my forefathers out of Mitzrayim, brought them through the desert, gave them the man to eat, and gave them the Torah." So I know that the Jews are a bunch of stupid idiots. I know that I shouldn't have asked the Jews. I'm interested in about your forefathers. I said, "What are you going to tell me? I believe in the God who created you, who created the world, who gave you your kingdom, who we all have to serve. You believe in the God who took your forefathers out of Egypt. I'm glad to hear about that. What's that to do with me? What are you telling me? You believe the God took your forefathers out of Egypt. So, okay, so I think that you should serve him. What's that to do with me?" So I'll explain to you. If I would have said, I believe in the God who created the world, what would you say? Prove it. What would I say? I'm going to give you a proof. What are you going to do? Argue. What am I going to do? Argue back. What are you going to do? Argue back. We're not going to finish this. We're not going to finish. We're going to enter argument, then we're not going to finish. I said, I believe in the God who took my forefathers out of Egypt. What do you say? Prove it. Of course I can prove it. 600,000 Jews were there. Once we knew he took us out of Egypt. Once we knew he took us through the desert. Once we know who gave us the man. Once we know he gave us the Torah. Now we know he also created the world. Now we also know that he created you. Now we know that he gave you your kingdom. Now we know that you're supposed to serve it. And then they start arguing, start speaking, and that's the whole Sefer the Kuzi. That's the Sefer the Kuzi we have today. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda Leib is telling us that Be'etzem, our emunah starts in Parshas Shemos. Our emunah does not start from Parshas Bereishis. Because Parshas Bereishis, we know it's true, but we have no aiders. We have no witnesses. Once we know, which means like this. If someone's going to tell you, what do you believe in? She says, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu who made the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. That's not what we know. I have rayos. I have certain logical reasons why I think why I believe he made the world. But I know that he took Saddam and Sinai because I heard from my father. Who heard from his father, 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 who was there. We were there. That's how we know that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's how we know that Hashem gave us the Torah. How do I know that Hashem gave us the Torah? I was there. Okay, not me, my father. Okay, fine. But I heard from my father directly from him, who heard from his father, who heard from his father, who was there, that Hashem gave us the Torah. There's nothing as strong. There's no historical event that is so clearly got down to today as Nesin Torah, as it is Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to go into all why it is like that, but that's how it is. Right? If someone believes that there was this fellow called Napoleon, this is much stronger historically than the fact that there's a fellow called Napoleon. There's a fellow called Napoleon, how do you know? You were there? No, I read a book. The one who wrote the book met him? No, he read also a book. He read a book. Did he meet him? Which means you know from someone who heard from someone, who knows that it's historically there's a fellow called Napoleon. But this is exactly direct. I can tell you, my father heard from his father who was there. Period. Okay. So I might say, these weeks, these parashas Shemos, Ve'era, and so far, and so on and so forth, these are the Ikrei Emun. Our whole Emun is based on these parashas. This is our belief. The Ramban explains, what's the difference between Chumash Bereishis and Chumash Shemos. The man explains that Chumash Bereishis is actually the Genesis. That's the creation of the world. And it's the stories of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov with actually the creation of Klal Yisrael. Whatever happened to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, it's like a seed that in the seed lies there the whole tree. Which means, you have something, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, whatever happened to them, there lies what's going to happen to all Klal Yisrael, Meshach, the generations. For instance, it says in Pasuk that, Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. Why did he go down to Mitzrayim? Right? He went to Egypt. Why? Because there was a famine in the land. I mean, not talking about the days of Yosef. Days of Avram. It was four generations before that. In days of Avram, there was a famine, there was nothing to eat. He went down to Mitzrayim, and over there they took away Sarah. And then Hashem afflicted Paroi, and he sent him out of Mitzrayim.
and he gave him for Chushgod.
That's exactly what happened generations later to Avram's children, to Avram's descendants. What happened to Avram? Avram happened is like a small seed, and that eventually happens to the whole Klal Yisrael. Chumash Bereishis is Genesis, is the Yetzirah. Is the Yetzirah. The Hemshech, Shema Yisrael, Yikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, Nach, that's all what comes out of Bereishis. That's all the Hemshech of Bereishis. Like a tree coming out of a seed. The beginning of Chumash Shemois, which means after we finished talking about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, our forefathers, now we're talking about Klal Yisrael. Yaakov died, and now Klal Yisrael is going on. Now we're starting the history of Klal Yisrael. The first parasha of Klal Yisrael is talking about Shemois. What's Shemois? Shemois is Golus. This is Golus. The first parasha talking of Amuna is Golus. The first parasha talking of Klal Yisrael is Golus. The second, and the whole parasha Shemois is all Golus. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's Kulei Golus, it's Kulei Achtzar, what's going to be? We don't see any help over here. We're crying, and Hashem says, I hear you, I'm listening, I'm okay, I'm going to save you. But we don't see anything. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down to Paroi, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi, let my people go. And Paroi says, you shut up, you start to do this, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And he makes things much worse. And things become much harder, and Klaius and the Mitz and the Shetrim, right, the Jewish overseers, go down to Paris and says, why are you doing this? And says, because I don't want you to talk this stupid, this divrei sheker that you're going out of Mitzrayim. We're not going anywhere. And if you think that you're going to go, I'm going to get this out of your mind, out of your head. And you're going to work some more to get this out of your head. And Moshe goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, why did you send me? You're not helping us. And with that ends Parshas Shemois. Parshas Shemois ends in a very, very dejected mood. Rabbeinu Shalom, you're not helping us. And Hashem says, I will help you. Period. Shemois is Kulei Golus. Kulei Shibud. Entirely. Shibud. Golus. Work. Affliction. Toil. Parshas Ve'eva. This is a new story. Parshas Ve'eva is already HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Makas to Mitzrayim. Parshas Boy is Yetzias Mitzrayim. Parshas B'Shalach is going to the Midbar. Eventually more. But there's a parsha called Parshas Shemois. The first parsha of our Emunah is Golus. The first parsha of talking about Klal Yisrael is Golus. My high. Why Golus? Why Golus? Start off that everything's going fine. We're in Mitzrayim. And we have many children and everything's going fine. The second parasha should start off with Shemois. The first parasha of talking about Klal Yisrael, the first parasha talking with our Amunah. The first thing is, Vayimoros Chayim Bavidit Kosher. Always heard they were crying and nothing's helping them. The way I understand it, this is how it is. People have make a mistake. People think. You see, many times you have two people. One is, Kenahara Baruch Hashem. Hashem blessed him with riches. He's a rich person. Very, very well off. And someone else, he has no panasa and he's working from day to day, money, things aren't going. So we look at the first one. He's lucky, Baruch Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him and he's blessed him with riches, Baruch Hashem. The second one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him some kind of demakel, some kind of affliction, and he's nebuch. He's in tzaras. It's not the parsha at all. It's not the parsha at all. If you have two people, one of them, two people working in a factory. Two people were in a factory. Right? So one fellow comes in and says, and comes up to the owner of the factory and says, I'm looking for a job. He says, okay. Takes his particulars. How old are you? What did you do till now? What kinds of questions he asks him? He says, okay, I have a job for you. Your job is to go down to the second floor, and over there you carry things all day. Okay, that's his job. Someone else comes in and says, I'm looking for a job. He takes his particulars, he asks him some questions, and says, okay, I have a job for you. I need a secretary. You'll be my secretary, and you write down. Okay. The first one, Nebuch, he's sitting over there in a dark room, and he's schlepping here, schlepping there. The second fellow, he's sitting in an office, an air-conditioned office, and he has whatever he wants. He has a refrigerator right there, and he has a coffee machine right there. He's very well off to do. So, some people tell you, well, the owner of the factory decided he's going to afflict the first one, and he's going to give a chesed to the second one. That's not the point at all. He saw what the first one can do, and he says, I want you to do this job. And he saw the second one, I want you to do this job. This is your job. We came over here to this world to work. That's what we came for. We came over here, as Hashem, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120 years. Hashem gave us as much as Hashem gives us. He says, I gave you here, you're here to work. And you're not here to do to get anything on the side. Not here to give anything on the side. Someone comes into the work the first day, right, and he says, okay, I think I want my paycheck. He says, you're not going to get a paycheck until the end of the month. So I'm sorry for asking, okay. But I need a table. I'll give you a table. I need a board with drawers. I'll give you a chair. I need air conditioner. I'll give you an air conditioner. I need a refrigerator with drinks. I'll give you a refrigerator with drinks. I need a coffee machine. I'll give you a coffee machine. I need a computer. I'll give you a computer. I understand. You said you're not going to get a paycheck. Why are you giving all these things? I'm not going to give you a single penny of pay. Whatever you need for your work, I'm going to give you. Whatever you need for your work, if you say, I can't work unless I have a computer, if it's true, you're going to get a computer. If you can't work unless I have an air conditioner, if it's true, you're going to get an air conditioner. I can't work well unless I have a coffee machine. If that's true, you're going to get a coffee machine. You see two people. One was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and one is molly tsa. Hashem decided his job is that, and his job is that. It's not pshat Hashem decided, I'm going to give him a chesed, and that's not the point at all. What his job is, he came to do something here in this world. He came to do something. So this is his job, which means you have some people that his job is to give tzedakah. That's what Hashem brought him here for, to give tzedakah. So Hashem gave him. He brought him to a family with, what he has over there. And whatever he touches, he makes into money. Makes into gold. The point is not that you should live it up. The point is, now, give stock. You have someone else, Hashem said, I think we did what to give stock. You're supposed to give stock on the side. That's not what you came to. That's not what you came for. You came to do other things. So there's no reason in the world to give in a house, to bring you up as a millionaire. Why should that's not your job. That's not your job. You have a different job. Growth comes from work. There's nothing in the world without work. There's nothing in the world I get without working on it. Nothing worthwhile, at least. Nothing in the world worthwhile that comes without work. But what was that? I brought you here to this world that you should work. And you should toil. And you should sweat. Everyone in his oifen. Even his manner. Some people I brought out as a millionaire, that he should give tzedakah. And he should say, another schnorrer, give tzedakah, and don't say the word schnorrer. And give tzedakah, and give tzedakah, and give tzedakah, and give tzedakah. And you have someone else, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who says, you have a different tafkin in life. And you have someone else who says, you have a different African life. So you have a different African life. But etzim, what we came over here, the whole world, our job over here, these years that we have, is just to work and grow and work and grow and work and grow and work and grow and work and grow. The first parasha of the Torah, talking about Klal Yisrael, the first parasha of the Torah, talking about Emunah, is work and work and work and work. The second parasha is redemption. The third parasha is Yitzis Mitzrayim. Then finally we get to Mishkan. Then we get bigger and higher and more wonderful, more wonderful, more wonderful. But it all starts from a lot of work. Now, why it is like that is one of the biggest secrets in the world. Why everything has to start with work? Why do you say you can't make a little easier life, a little easier world? You couldn't have, this is the best you could do? Come on. I'm sure that you could, if you would have worked at it, thought a little deeper into it, you could have made life a little easier. Come on. You couldn't make, you really couldn't. Coach Wolf says, I could, but this is how it's supposed to be. Why is it supposed to be like this? Why am I supposed to work so hard? It's one of the biggest secrets in the world. The reason talks about it. The reason says, whoever knows the secret is not supposed to tell it. This is deep, 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 deep. Moshe Rabbeinu is wondering about it. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu Shloim, Lama Zeh Shlachtani, what's going on over here? Why does there have to be such a deep gullus before you have Geula? Why does there have to be such a deep gullus? And all over the world, all the Deus of Klai is always screaming, Rabbeinu Shloim, why does it have to be such a deep gullus? Because I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Lemaisa, what we have to learn from this parasha Shemos. Why? It's not for us to ask. Whoever knows the secret, knows the secret. It's a very deep secret. But not for us to ask. What we can learn from parasha Shemos is a few nekudas. One nekuda is, no matter how things are going, no matter how it seems, there's no, I'm working so hard. It's not going. Everyone in his tchum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to you. For 210 years, they were crying, they were screaming. Not exactly, 86 years. Right, 210 years, they came from when Yosef was still the viceroy of Mitzrayim. It's 86 years of the Koshia Shibut. But 86 years, that's year after 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 year. I'm a hundred healthy! And nothing's moving. The boy says, help! Nothing's moving. The boy says, help! Nothing's moving. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is listening and says, just a little more. And then when Kodesh Baruch Hu is ready to help, then things become even darker. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, just a little more. We're soon going out. Just continue. And they didn't hear this Hashem speaking to them. They just saw the darkness. no matter how things are going, God who's listening there, he's watching you, and he says, come on, you could do it, you could do it, you could do it, you could do it, you could do it. Secondly, Kodesh told Yaakov before they left, before went down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov was afraid of going down to Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, Anoichi Eirid Imich Mitzrayim, V'Anoichi Ha'alcha Gam Aloi. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I will take you out of Mitzrayim. How did they have? With what schus did they go out of Mitzrayim? They held on to Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're holding on to you with every last fiber of our body. Just help us. And eventually, Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. They never left, they never stopped crying to Hashem. No matter what, they never stopped crying to Hashem. They kept on holding on to Hashem. They didn't have much going for them. They didn't have many mitzvahs. They didn't look very much Jewish. They didn't look very Jewish. They didn't remember much of the Avos. They were trying, yeah, they. But they held on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They held on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they held on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I brought you down to Mitzrayim, I'm going to take you out of it. They came out of Mitzrayim, and then eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. Now you are my nation. You worked hard. You're my nation. What does it mean, my nation? We can't imagine what that means, you're my nation. The book says, this whole world that I made, the whole world that I created, is all for you. I made an entire world. It's all for you. This is all. It's worth for me. Because Bogle says, wait, this is explanation. I'm just saying. I made a world of millions and billions of creatures in the world. Every single creature is made up of millions and billions of atoms, of molecules. And each one is deep and deep and deep and deep. This is our world. I made this whole world. All it's worth it for one little Jew. You worked hard, now you're mine. Now you grew up, now you're close to me. Now you're gonna, I made it just for you that you should do mitzvahs, and you should be zeicher. You should be zeicher to be close to me. It's worth for me to make the whole world that you should be close to me. That's the end product of the whole goddess. It's the end product of the whole world. We're in this business already a couple of thousand years. We're not starting today. In this business a couple of thousand years. We went through Mitzrayim. We got out of Mitzrayim. We went to Golis again. And Golis again. And went through trouble. And everyone has their personal Golis. Things aren't easy all the time. Sometimes a Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know, your job is to do things in an easier manner. Sometimes Hashem says your job is to do things in a harder manner. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always says, what? You're here to help, to work, to build yourself. And then when that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, will tell us, okay, enough. You built yourself. Now you can be close to me. And then what happens then is beyond our imagination. There's no way in the world that we could ever imagine what's waiting for us. Whatever we're doing now is just building us a building, toiling to the end product. We're all waiting for the end product. Hashem should help us that this end product should come. B'mehira, the core of mamish, b'mehira yameinu amen.